Hurricane Ian, the September storm that ravaged Florida's southern Gulf Coast, killing at least 152 people, five deaths were suicides, has faded from the national headlines, but not the local news. I spent a couple days in Fort Myers recently and was stunned at the scars left by Ian. Today, we've gathered two reporters from member station WDCU in Fort Myers, for whom Ian has never gone out of the headlines or their personal lives. John Davis is a reporter and producer at WGCU. Nice to speak with you again, John.
Thanks for having me.
And we welcome Eileen Kelly as well, an investigative reporter. Nice to speak with you, Eileen.
Oh, Robin, it's wonderful to hear from you again.
John, I want to start with you because you lost your home. You know, we're crashing on couches. I know you want to talk about other people, but, you know, you could probably relate to the disconnect you were feeling in your neighbors, too.
Absolutely. I mean, all the homes, for the most part, were losses. I'm back on the same street. You know, up until about a week or two ago, I had neighbors who were still living in tents in their front yards. To this day, I have neighbors who are doing their dishes in a plastic tub in the front yard with the garden hose.
I think you also told me that some of your neighbors are undocumented.
My neighborhood is primarily Hispanic working class families, and most are going to have somebody in the household who is not documented, and that kind of makes them fearful, even if they are eligible for help, to even reach out and apply. I saw a lot of other neighborhoods that were impacted where people were able to try and get some kind of assistance. A lot of folks in my neighborhood were not able to do that and were kind of struggling. They didn't have a home. They had lost their vehicles as well and their jobs. A lot of them worked in the hospitality industry.
Right. And talk about this homeless encampment under this bridge to Fort Myers Beach.
Since the storm, there's been an encampment of people living in tents, pretty much. One of my colleagues, Mike Walcher, spoke with a gentleman there. His name is Jay Berkey, 76 years old. He was living aboard a boat on Fort Myers Beach when the storm hit, and he credits the Coast Guard with rescuing him. Here's what he had to say.
I'm tired of sitting here. I'm tired of laying in the bed.
You're starting to get anxious to get back on a boat or
I've been anxious since day one.
I feel weak and I feel vulnerable and I feel tired and I'm sick of listening to all the garbage I had to listen to. I feel like I'm dying minute by minute.
That second voice there was Tiffany Fivecoat. She's a Native American woman in her 50s who was also in that same encampment. And there's other encampments around the county.
Oh, but this is 5 months on, you know, to hear those voices. And Eileen, I want to bring you in because housing was an acute issue in your area before this devastation.
Well, you know, these rents were just explosive. Insurance rates are just, people can't keep up with them. Prices of homes have been skyrocketing. I mean, Lee County is just well above so much more of the nation. So that was even before the storm. And prior to Ian, we know that there were 240,000 single-family homes in Lee County. And this is just staggering. I just got off the phone with the property appraiser's office. They are sorting through about half of those homes, so about 117,000, to determine if they are livable. That's half of the stock. They have determined that 5,837 homes have been either demolished or are no longer places for people to live. That leaves them another 100,000 homes that they have to go check on and see if these are still part of the tax rolls, if people can still live in them. This is going to have a devastating impact on how governments are funded because Florida does not have an income tax. Its property taxes are really what fuels everything here. And yes, land is expensive and land's going to get more expensive as Fort Myers changes rapidly into a what clearly is going to be a very upper end community with the developers. But until that happens, I don't know how governments are going to function. Everyone's going to get hit with higher taxes and higher insurance. It's just a really double whammy because people were having a really tough time, particularly the working class. They were getting forced out of their neighborhoods well before the storm.
Well, and as we learned yesterday, you know, this wasn't a one-off. Some people think this was a once-in-a-lifetime storm. It's not. This is an historically hurricane-prone area, so you just wonder what's going to happen. But let's move to FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, because, John, 5 months later, a lot of people don't know whether they're going to get assistance. Talk more about that.
Yeah, Yeah, so far FEMA has received more than 911,000 applications from Ian survivors. And of those, 378,000 have received assistance. But that leaves nearly 59% of Ian-related FEMA applications somewhere in the pipeline. Now, the agency's been telling us some of the holdup relates to people still waiting on insurance settlements. In the meantime, the process of bringing in longer-term temporary housing has been gruelingly slow. Now, nearly 300 more travel trailers and mobile home units are on the way. They're being prepared for occupancy and site inspections on possible locations where the trailers could be. That is also something that is slowing down this process. Local governments have to approve sites where trailers could be placed on government-owned property. Just earlier this month, the mayor of Cape Coral spoke in opposition to allowing temporary housing for Ian-impacted residents on these selected city-owned parcels, just saying he didn't think it would jive with the residents nearby already in that area. The city council outvoted him in the end, but the opposition is still there. It's slowing things down. Even Governor DeSantis has weighed in on this. Back in December, he said he was tired of waiting on FEMA for trailers and directed the State Division of Emergency Management to go ahead, stop waiting for FEMA to waive restrictions on where the trailers can be placed. Because the concerns mainly seem to be about they don't want to put trailers in a flood zone. But that's not really an immediate issue the way homelessness is. This is not storm season. We're actually experiencing drought conditions right now.
Yeah. Well, and just you mentioned insurance. You told me that some insurers are mailing back what's left of premiums to people and saying we're folding. Or they're fighting over whether something was flood or wind. And meanwhile, people aren't getting paid. Look, Eileen, this is taking its toll. Talk about the mental health.
Oh, boy. Lee County has just one single building that is dedicated for mental health issues for people that are in the throes of mental breakdowns. It's called Salus Care, and it's a crisis stabilization unit. Well, today it looks no different than it did the day that Hurricane Ian hit. The walls are still torn apart. Reconstruction came to a halt because of a stalemate between wind and flood insurers. The community has, you know, come to learn that this is where their family members go in crisis. This is where emergency workers keep people that need to be involuntarily committed until they get stabilized. To this day, neither the flood adjuster nor the wind insurers have made any payments to Salus Care. You know, it's for people that have expressed an interest in killing others or killing themselves. About 4,000 adults and children were admitted last year. So 5 months in, there are thousands of people in crisis that have to go find emergency psychiatric help elsewhere.
Well, I think we actually heard some of that when we were walking around the area, people who feel people have died because of their desperation. Eileen, you've also been visiting an RV park that had minor damage from the storm, but residents are being forced out because of a new owner. Talk a little about that.
Yeah, so this was an old no-frills RV park. It had very minor damage from Hurricane Ian. An out-of-town businessman, he had been trying to buy the property. Well, the sale went through in late October, so that's just a month after Hurricane Ian. By November 1st, residents were told their rents were going up dramatically, you know, double what they had been paying.
Oh, these are older and disabled people.
Yes. By December 1st, the new owner, even though they had paid, was putting notices on their doors telling them that they are to get out. I witnessed him clear-cutting trees. He was demolishing mobile homes. Now, they owned these homes. They were renting the land. I went to the city. He did not have demolition permits. So it turned out that, the park is almost all cleared as of January 1st, and it wasn't FEMA that went in there. It was the state trailers that John had just mentioned with Governor DeSantis saying, I'm not waiting any longer. People have been forced out because this new park owner was realizing that he could cash in. The government pays a great deal more than these residents were paying. So I talked to Barbara Clark today. She has been actually living in a hotel since Christmas, since she was forced out. When I first met her, it was awful. She called me crying because she didn't know what to do with her 9-year-old black lab. She's disabled, and she called and asked if I knew of any foster parents for her 9-year-old dog. All the shelters were full, and her only option was to euthanize her dog. So I found a home for Blackie. I do visit him regularly. He's looking great, but Barbara's not doing well at all. And I spoke with her just this morning. This is what she has to say.
I just don't understand it how, you know, I was displaced to bring in displaced people. But because I had no damage, I don't qualify for FEMA help.
When you could really use it now, because the people that FEMA's helping or the state is helping has forced you out because of a landlord wanting more money.
Right. you know, I just, you know, just makes me feel lost and alone, having to give up my dog. I sure could use him right now, but it just, I'm glad he's all right.
Oh, good. That's Barbara Clark. Again, forced out of her trailer home by a new owner of a park who's going to get more money from the state for state trailers. This also reminds us, I know you would want me to concentrate on people like Barbara, but it's a reminder that you reporters during Ian have been far more. Please, Eileen, keep us appraised of what happens to Barbara Clark.
Oh, I will. The stories are not over.
And John Davis, keep us up to date on what is happening in your neighborhood with so many people
there
living in tents. And thank you.
Thank you, Robin.
Thanks for caring and checking in.